Good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. We're excited about Vacation Bible School getting started. I hope all of you are. If you're visiting with us today and you've come in and you've seen things looking the way they look, it may look a little different than what you were expecting to see today, but it's because we are. We're excited about our Vacation Bible School coming up, and I want to say thank you to all that have put so much effort. The sanctuary in here looks wonderful. If you go next door to the fellowship hall, you'll see the chuck wagon. That's where you'll be fed at. And they have done a wonderful job over there getting it ready. And then all the classrooms downstairs, just fabulous job. So thank all of you for your hard work and dedication. And we're just looking for a real exciting time this week at Vacation Bible School. So come and be a part of that. Okay, again, good to see everyone. Good to be here this morning. And thank you, ladies, for doing a good job playing for us this morning. We always appreciate everything that you do for us. Appreciate all of you that's here today. And if you are listening to us by way of radio this morning, we welcome you into the worship service of Hightower Baptist Church. And I hope and pray that this morning's service will be a blessing to you, be a help to you as you journey along through life. And it's what we desire today for all of us this morning. If you have your Bibles today and would like to read along with us, you can turn to the book of Corinthians, chapter number 1, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you'll look right there in front of you in the pew rack, page number 981 in that book. I'm going to help you out. If you look at page 981, you'll find it right there, 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Last Sunday, we looked at the danger of obsession and being obsessed with things. And this morning, we're going to look at the danger of division and what the Bible tells you and I, what a dangerous thing division really is. Look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 10 is where we're going to read just a verse there, and then we'll look at a few other verses throughout this chapter. This is what Paul said. He said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment." Well, we can certainly all today identify with division. I don't know if there's ever been a time in the history of America where there's more division than perhaps there is right now. Maybe during the time of the Civil War. But outside of that, I don't know if there's ever been a time in the history of America, really, that we are more divided than we really are right now. We're divided, very, very divided politically. This country is very divided politically. And then even within the political parties, they are divided. I mean, you know, so you see that division. And then you know, we're divided nowadays over there's a big division over abortion right now going on in America. There's a big division over race going on in America today. There's a lot of division going on over gun control in America today. So you and I can very easily identify and understand what division is. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that we live in a world or in an America today that there is a lot of division. Well, what happens when division spills over into the church? It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. It's something that we want to always do our very level best to keep out of the church is division. And you when you look at this book and you go back and you think about Paul, he's in when he founded the church at Corinth. It's in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. Well, Corinth, he stayed there for about a year and a half. Well, when you look at that area, if you know anything about that area, it was a very diverse area. He had a very diverse congregation of people there. He had people that were Greek. He had people that was Jewish. He had people that God seekers. He had folks that were had never had really anything to do with God at all. Paganism and things of that nature, just all kinds. It was a melting pot in that day at Corinth, much like America might be today or the world might be. There's a lot of different views and a lot of different ideas. And I want to read to you something that George W. Bush said one time at an interfaith service. He said, at times, it seems like the forces pulling us apart are stronger than the forces that bind us together. Pretty good saying. But it does. We see that sometimes the division that we see and experience in the world, sometimes it spills over into churches. And that's exactly what has happened here at Corinth. It has caused division in the church. And really and truly, if we allow that to happen in our church, or if anybody allows it to happen in their church today, then you are just like this church at Corinth, that Paul was dealing with this problem of division. And I really want you and I today, you know what I want us to do? I want us to open the doors to the church at Corinth and go inside and sit down and see what's going on. If you'll view that passage that way, you'll realize what was happening in that church, and you'll see the problems that they had and the conflict that they had, and why I said that division is such a danger. It's a dangerous thing when we become a divided people. So I hope and pray that you and I would stay united. And listen, folks, when you look around and see the accomplishments that's been made over this weekend, are we not a united people? I feel like I could say that we are. And I hope and pray that we will remain that united people like we should be. Because, see, united we can get a whole lot of stuff done. But when there is division and divided groups and everything, nothing really gets done. And most of all, when there is division, there's no honor towards God. There's no honor and glory that he deserves that should come from his church when he has a church that's divided. Surely, surely you can see that there would be no honor and glory for God in a divided church. So I hope and pray that you and I will remain a very much a united body of people. When you look now, we're going to look back just real quickly, back up just a little bit. So you'll get the idea, because I want you to fully understand. I said we were going inside Corinth and going to sit down and just really see what's going on. And he was definitely talking to the church. When you go back and you look at chapter number 1, verse number 2, listen to what he said. He said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord, that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, Paul uses a statement here. He says, to the church of God. Well, why did he say that? Because back in that time, cultural time, actually, the ancient Greek word for church was a non-religious word. In other words, just because if you had an assembly and you called it church, it did not take on the same meaning that you and I understand today. So that's why Paul said the church of God. He wanted those folks to understand that he was speaking to God's people. So you and I, when we look and we think about sitting down inside Corinth Church, that is definitely God speaking to his people, his church, to the church of God. He is speaking directly to his people. And then he goes on and he says something else in there. He says, called to be saints. Well, now, if you look real close in your Bible, you'll notice that that to be is in italics. Do you know what that means? It means it was added. The translators added that for ease of understanding. But if you take that word out, if you take to be out, it says called saints. Called saints. So now, I know what a lot of you are sitting there thinking today. Pardon my grammar, okay, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. What does most everybody say in life? You've said it, I've said it, we've all said it sometime or another. Well, I ain't no saint, right? I ain't no saint. Yes, you are. You may not live like one. You may not be living your life like a saint, but if you are a child of God, you are very clearly a saint. And to those that feels like that sainthood begins after your death and everything, and they make you a saint then, I'm going to tell you something, they got it wrong. Paul is talking to the church at this day, and he calls those bodies of believers saints. You may not be living like one, but if you're a child of God, if you're born into the family of God, if you proclaim Christ as your Lord and Savior, you qualify as a saint, whether you're living it or not. And evidently, from what we understand, really when you read the whole book of Corinthians, Paul answers a lot of problems that's come. This household of Chloe has sent him these men has come as a delegation to him and presented all of these problems that's going on in this church and everything that they're facing. And Paul, when you read Corinthians, it's just like this. He's just kind of like bang, bang, bang. He answers what the problem is, or he defines and tells what the problem is, and then he answers or he gives an answer or a solution to the problem that's going on within that church. And when you and I see this and we understand in that day what a danger it was for them to have problems. So he's definitely talking to a body of believers. See, that's what I want folks to understand about this. It's not that Paul was just writing a random letter out there to just whoever would take part of it and read it. Paul is writing a letter specifically and addressing problems that are within the church of God. Addressing those issues and addressing those problems is what he's doing. So verse number 10 that I read to you at the very beginning brings us to the root of the problem and tells us that there is division there among us. Well, now somebody, and you'll say this, and for the most part, in one way, you're right, so, because somebody's going to say this, or you're going to think this, Well, there is absolutely no way that a church can be perfect or that a church can always be 100% united in every single thing. To some degree, that might be okay, but listen, stay with me before you judge what I've just said. Stay with me, because you and I all have the peripheral things. Do you know what the peripherals are? They're the things that are over here and over there. And you see this and I see that. But then there's also the very central things, and those are the things that the church must grab hold of and you and I must be very firm on. We must be very decided on, and we must stand on them. And those things are Jesus. Those things are the way of salvation. Those things are the very fundamentals that Christ taught and teaches you and I as a church. There is always going to be things that folks sees this way and some folks will see that way. But centrally, we should all have the same vision. And yes, we can be 100% united in that vision, centrally looking towards Christ, looking to Him, who He is, what He is, and what He does. You and I should have no division whatsoever when it comes to that. And that's what was happening with those people. Well, you know what? If Paul was alive in our day, you know what he might, you know what term he might use? You know what Paul might say was going on at the church at Corinth? He might say this. He might say, there's a lot of drama going on in the church. Because it can. And we certainly don't want to have drama going on in church. And that's really, we're fixing to look at it. That's really what was going on. And he said, listen what he said their problem was. Listen. He said, there's division. That there be no division. That you speak the same things and that there be no division. What he's really talking about there is their division. The word that's used there for division in the Greek is really means to tear or to rend. Do you understand what Paul is saying? He is saying, stop tearing one another apart. Stop pulling one another apart. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're literally tearing, you're ripping one another apart. Now, that's why I said that it's such a shameful thing, because we see that today in America. We see it in politics. So every time you turn the television on, you see one group ripping this group, one group tearing this person just totally apart. And what I'm afraid of, folks, is that we become so accustomed to that and we see so much of it. Our children see so much of it. Every time you turn the news on, the television on, that's the first thing you see. And by and large, it will eventually have its effect on you in your life, and you'll find yourself doing the same thing with your brothers and sisters in Christ, ripping them apart, tearing them apart. That is absolutely not what the church should ever be about. And we're going to go back to that again and see some more things that he said in just a minute. But they were tearing down the body of Christ. And listen, what is the goal? What is the goal of the church? It's ultimately to build up the body of Christ, never to tear down the body of Christ, but to build up the body of Christ. And we want to do that. We want to do that so that people sees Christ in us. We want a lost world. We want people who have no relationship with God whatsoever. We want those folks to see us as a united body and see us as something that they would want to be a part of, instead of looking at the church like this and saying, well, you know what? I can just go out in the world and be a part of that. If I can't get away, if I can't go to church and get away from the bickering and the conflict and the division, then why go? Why not just be a part of the world system? Same thing if you're going to offer that at church for folks. So let's never be a body of people that's divided. Well, what was their division? And it was none of the fault of these guys, because Paul puts himself in the lineup. When you go on down and read just a little bit further on, what does he say? Well, what was happening? Verse number 12. Now I say this, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So he uses four examples there. Well, what they had actually done, what this church had done in Corinth. Now remember, you and I were sitting down in that church and we're seeing what's going on. They had divided up into cliques, is exactly what they had done. They divided up into some cliques. And the first one was there. Paul addresses himself, uses himself as an example. Some of you are saying that you're of Paul. Well, after all, What would be wrong with that? Paul's the one that 10 years ago founded this church. He's the founder of the church, and therefore, because Paul is the founder of the church, surely he's the one that's right, and we're going to be in the Paul party. He's got to be right. I mean, you know, he founded this church. He has absolutely got to be the one that's right. I want to tell you something. Think about this, folks. I love and always will Leonard Ridings. He was a man that preached the gospel the night I was saved. I love him for that. But I will tell you one thing. I will never worship that man. I love him for the fact that he preached the gospel and preached in a very powerful way, and it brought conviction to my heart and drove me to an altar where I was broken and came up a brand new person in Christ. But it was because of Jesus. It was not because of him. So do we develop ties towards some man who was a preacher, some lady who was a Sunday school teacher, some good saint of God that helped lead you to Christ? Yes, you may. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. But don't fall into a clique of worshiping them or get so tied to them that you lose who the focus should really be on. And that's exactly what they had done. Some was saying, well, you know, it's got to be Paul. He's got to be the one that's right. After all, he's the one that got us set on this Christian way. So we've got to be, certainly we got to be the group that's right. Well, then there comes another group that he says. He said, some say that you're of Apollos. Well, you know what we do know about Paul and Apollos? We do know this. There's a lot of times this statement is made, and it's very true. Paul was a very well-educated man. He was. We know that just from scriptures. We understand that Paul was a very educated, very learned man for his day and time. But I'm going to tell you what. In comparison to Apollos, he was probably the community college graduate, Paul was, and Apollos come out of Yale. That would be the difference. He was from Alexandria, Egypt, and he had an education that was superior to most everybody in that day. So there was this group that said, well, you know what? well, we're gonna go after Apollos. He's the learned man. He's a man that's got the most knowledge, and he's a very eloquent speaker. And therefore, because of that, we're going with him. He's the man. He's definitely the man. So we're gonna go with him. He has all kinds of knowledge. Very knowledgeable of the scriptures. So he's the man that we're going with. Then he goes on, he mentions another guy. He says Cephas, that'd be Peter. Well, now who's Peter? Well, he's the fundamentalist of the group. He's got good Jewish heritage, background, everything. So he's, and after all, he's the one that the Lord said he'd give the keys to the kingdom to. He's the one that made that great profession of faith of who the Lord was. So surely, if we're going to follow somebody, this has got to be the man. We're going to be the fundamentalist group, and we're going to follow after Peter. We're going to go with his clique because Peter has definitely got to be the man that's got it right. You know, he made his great declaration of who Jesus was. He's the man that Jesus did say, I'll give the keys to the kingdom to you. So he's got to be the man. But then comes this next group. This is puzzling a little bit when you just read it. Paul says, and some of you, I of Christ. Oh, that's the group that's got it right, right? Certainly. Paul has said, you know, Paul has put himself in there, Apollos in there, Peter in there. And now he says, some of you are of Christ. So this has got to definitely be the crowd that's got it right. I want to tell you what I think these people here were, okay? These are the folks that always has a direct line to heaven. They're just a little bit more saved than everybody else. They've got just a little bit more spirituality about them than everybody else. I mean, you know, they got it going on. They're the ones that's got it right. And I'm going to tell you something. Out of all that group, they're the group that I fear the most in church. That is the group that I absolutely fear the most, because they're the group that always the Lord has told them something. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I am not, don't you get me wrong, I'm not saying that the Lord cannot tell, cannot speak, cannot give you direction and everything in life. Don't you dare say I said that, because I didn't. I said this was a group that the Lord always tells something, and most of the time what He has told them never lines up with His Word. That's why I'm afraid of them. That's why they scare me. Because it never lines up with the Word of God. And I will say this today emphatically, God has not given no new revelation that does not line up with His Word. Why do you think that He said it is a finished work? My friend, it's complete. Now, does that mean that God can't give you understanding about something? Absolutely, I'm not saying that. Does that mean that I would say that God can't give you direction in life? Absolutely, I'm not saying that. But to tell me that God said this, and then I can find absolutely nowhere in Scripture that even begins to go along with what some folks has told me God said, that's the group I'm very afraid of. And you should be too. You should be very afraid of those people. Because He's not given some new revelation. If it don't lie, if you can't find it from Genesis to Revelation, somewhere, something that will support it, back it up, you might want to listen a little bit closer and figure out who you're listening to. Because why can I say this? Why can I say this and feel as though it's got to be right? Because if it don't line up with God's Word, then it ultimately has to contradict what His Word is teaching. And God never contradicts Himself in what He says. So nothing is contradicting in the Word of God. So be careful, folks, of those people. Jesus does not belong to one group. He's the unifier, okay? He is always. And listen, let me tell you what. Let me tell you why I don't think these people that said that they are of Christ had it right. If they would have had it right, why would Paul have to have been writing this letter? They would have been doing everything in their power to correct the problem instead of being a part of the problem. Paul addresses them also. Now, go back to that verse 10 again. This is what he's going to tell you and I. How we should be. He said that you be perfectly joined together. Same mind, same judgment. Do you know what this is a picture of? The word is a picture word that's the original text. And it's like a bone or a joint that's out of place and being shoved back into place and fitted back in there. If you dislocate something, a bone, that joint won't work right until it's relocated where it should be. And once it's back where it should be, it'll work properly. Or it's a term that a physician would use when he sets a broken bone, that he gets it in the right place, that it would join back together, be knitted back together, and be strong, and be united, and be useful. And that's what Paul wanted this church to, you know, 10 years, folks. That's all it took for this church to become a divided church. 10 years. Paul has been there, and then it's roughly around 10 years later when he's writing these words to these people. So it's only taken this church 10 years to become a divided, split, rendering, tearing one another apart kind of church. It's not the kind of church that the Lord wants any of us to be a part of. And you and I, let's be unifiers. Let's do everything in our power, because that's what Christ calls us to be, that we wouldn't be dividers, but that we would be unifiers in Christ, that we would unify the church. Paul realized that they had a problem because of the word that was sent to him. And it's a problem today that can so easily become a problem for any church. And when you have division, there's always danger, folks. So my prayer today is that you and I would be a united church, that we would come together for the cause of Christ. We've got a lot of good things coming up here in our church, our Vacation Bible School. I'm looking forward to great things happening this week. And then it's just a short time, a little bit of time for our summer revival here at our church, something that's been going on for hundreds of years now. And we want to be united in that. And we want to be together in that. And we want to do everything that we possibly can to bring honor and glory to the cause of Christ and lift up His name and build up His church and not have no division among us. This morning, you and I as a church, it speaks very strongly to us. But also, if you're not a part of the body of Christ, you're outside the church, and you could be listening to us today by radio or via the internet. Or if you're sitting in our congregation today and you have no relationship with Christ, then you are outside of the church. And the thing about it is that just as Paul addressed those people as saints, God wants you inside the church. God wants you a part of the church. So if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior today, we're going to give you that opportunity. If you're listening today, we give you that opportunity. You can bow in your home, wherever you are, and find Christ if you will submit yourself to Him. We want to thank all of you for coming this morning, and we invite you to come back. If you're here today and you're interested in uniting with our church, if you'll see me immediately after the service, we'll get that process started. We'd love to have you.